طيب، بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. And today this is our 20th session, reading from Arabic lessons in Hadith, Al Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Again, today this is our 20th session and 20th Hadith. And the hadith today is entitled "Fi Husni Mu'amalati Al-Khadam." Fi Husni Mu'amalati Al-Khadam, yani concerning good treatment of the servants or slaves. Today's hadith is on the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إخوانكم خولكم جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم فمن كان أخوه تحت يده فليطعمه مما يأكل وليلبسه مما يلبس ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ. Here this word, and in the book, has ta, should be corrected. فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. And it should be فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ. This word should be corrected. كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ. فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Okay, so the meaning of this hadith, or the translation, عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه, on the authority of Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, قال, he said, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إخوانكم خولكم, يعني your brothers are your servants, and the meaning of it is your servants or your slaves are your brothers, يعني treat them like they are your brothers. جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم. It's just that Allah has placed them under your hands, under your control, under your authority. Yani He has given you power over them. جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهِ, yani Allah has made them to be تَحْتَ, underneath, أَيْدِيكُمْ, your hands, yani under your authority. Here the meaning of جَعَلَ, yani is that Allah, yani caused them to become under your authority. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ. So whoever, يعني this is a shart, whoever, men, whoever, كَانَ أَخُوهُ, his brother was, تَحْتَ يَدِهِ, underneath his hand, يعني under his power, under his authority. So whoever found his brother underneath his authority, فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ, then he must feed him. Yani, the lamb in fal is lamb al-amr. And because yut'imhu is the jawab al-shart, yani the response to the conditional statement, فَمَنْ, whoever found his brother underneath his hands, then, yani he must feed him. فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ, from that which he himself eats. Yani he must feed him, yani food similar to what he feeds himself. وَيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسُ, and he must clothe him with clothing similar to what he clothes himself. وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ, and do not yani command them, obligate them with a responsibility that يعني is difficult or يعني they are unable to do. ولا تكلفوهم, do not يعني place them in a position to fulfill a duty or a responsibility or a task or a job, يعني ما يغلبهم, يعني from that which overcomes them, يعني is impossible for them to fulfill. يعني يغلبو means to overcome, يعني to defeat, to conquer, to vanquish, يعني it will overcome them, they will not be able to successfully complete it. ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم, don't hold them responsible for that which they are not able to do. فإن كلفتموهم, then if you hold them responsible for something like that which is too difficult for them, فأعينوهم, then you must help them, assist them, or يعني give them someone to help them if you don't help them yourself. متفق عليه, رواه البخاري ومسلم. There are several points in this hadith of importance, and there are a lot of words or expressions that we have in this lesson to explain, and also grammatical points to explain in addition to the meaning of the hadith and the benefits from the hadith, and a lot of questions. So let's, without delay, let's look at it quickly. Okay, any questions about the wording of the hadith first? Any word in the hadith that's not clear before we go to the expressions to be explained? Now, walaikum salam. Just one moment. Khalid, before I forget, there was some spray up here that we were using to clean the board. Do you know what happened to it? Yeah. Because this board, this stuff will not come off now just with the eraser. Oh, okay. I'll use it after the class because it's, I couldn't erase it without that. But okay, jazakallah khair. Now, I'm Abdul Haq.
Put it back up here.
Okay, Abdul Haq, you have a question?
Naam, can you say again the title, please?
The title, fi husni muamalati al khadami. Fi husni muamalati al khadami. يعني concerning good treatment. حسن معاملة, يعني معاملة, how you deal with people, the treatment of others. حسن, حسن معاملتي, concerning the good treatment of the خدم, يعني those who are under your service, servants, slaves, whatever, يعني somebody working for you or whatever. وإياكم. Any other word? Okay, we'll look at the expressions in this hadith as we go along, and then we'll look at the meaning and the grammatical points in detail. Okay, after this, we're reading from page 46, hadith number 20. Let's turn to the next page, the meaning of the words. Page 47, Ma'ani al-Kalimat. Oh, before that, let me just quickly mention here that this hadith came in Bukhari and Muslim. In one of the narrations of Bukhari, it has the exact same wording as we have in our book. In another narration in Bukhari, there's slightly different wording, yani, and that is at the end of the hadith, فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ, we have فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. In the other narration of Bukhari, it has a little more clarity. It says فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ, yani if you hold them responsible to do that which will overcome them, this word is repeated, مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ, then فَأَعِينُوهُمْ, then help them. Second point related to this hadith, that in the complete narration of this hadith, there's a qissa, a story of the event on which this yani instruction of the Prophet came. And that occasion is came in Bukhari and in other books of hadith also. In the narration, it came in Bukhari. The narrator said, لَقِيتُ أَبَذَرْ رَبَذَا. And he said, I met Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu in a place called Rabada, which is near Medina. وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ, and he was wearing a two-piece suit. يعني حلة is يعني two pieces of clothing, upper and lower part. وَعَلَى غُلَامِهِ حُلَّةٌ, and likewise his servant or his slave was also wearing a hulla, like Abu Dharr. And this was unusual, that the slave would be wearing the same clothing as the master. فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. So he said, I asked him about that. Yani, this is strange. Your slave is wearing the same clothing you're wearing. فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَابَبْتُ رَجُلًا فَعَيَّرْتُهُ بِأُمِّهِ. He said, in the past once, I had, yani, orally insulted, abused a man, and I, yani, insulted him by mentioning his mother. I don't know the younger people, but the older people, they know that in Jahiliyyah, they used to say, yani, about, if you want to insult somebody, you say your mother, or such and such and so and so. So likewise, in Jahiliyyah at that time, they had the same thing. So he said, I insulted that man by mentioning his mother. And in some of the narrations it mentions that he said, Ya Ibn Sauda, O son of a black woman. That was from, yani, the sayings of Jahiliyyah, of ignorance, to say something like this. He said, so in the past I had insulted a man, and I, yani, insulted him by mentioning something derogatory about his mother. فَقَالَ لِي النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, yani after it was brought to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's attention, he said, يَا أَبَا ذَرْ أَعَيَّرْتَهُ بِأُمِّهِ. O Abu Dharr, have you actually insulted him by mentioning something derogatory about his mother? إِنَّكَ إِمْرَأٌ وَإِمْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. Yani indeed, you are a man that still holds some of the characteristics of Jahiliyyah, of the days of ignorance, because that's something that's left from the time of ignorance. And some of the scholars said, obviously, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, yani, this was before he came to know that this was a prohibited action. It was something that they used to do in Jahiliyyah, and it didn't come to him that this was had been prohibited in Islam at that time. So he made this statement, and the Prophet ﷺ reprimanded him and mentioned that this type of speech, yani, is from the characteristics of the people of Jahiliyyah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, yani, your brothers are your servants, meaning your servants are your brothers. Treat them like brothers. Allah has just placed them under your authority. So whoever finds his brother under his authority, then he must feed him from what he eats and clothe him from what he clothes, and do not place upon him any responsibility that will overcome him, that he can't fulfill. And if you do, yani, task him with something that he's incapable of doing, then help him. This is how it came in one of the narrations of Bukhari, and it came also in other books of hadith similarly, the story or the qissa behind this particular hadith. Wa alaykum salam. طيب نعم. Okay, so I wanted to mention that, yani, the background of this particular hadith, because I think, yani, the background makes it a little bit more clear what is actually happening here. Okay, let's go back to our book, page 47, top of the page, Ma'ani al-Kalimat. The first word that came is al-khawal, al-khawalu. Al-khawalu, the meaning of al-khawalu is al-khadam. Yani al-khawal is a plural, and its meaning is al-khadam, which is also a plural. Khadam is plural of khadim, servant. Al-khawal, al-khadam. Qila huwa jam khail. And it is said that khawal is the plural of khail. Bima'na, meaning, with the meaning, al-ra'i li-shay'i wal-muslihu lahu. Yani the meaning of khail, the singular of khawal, its meaning is al-ra'i li-shay, one who takes care of something, attends to it. Yani guards it, protects it, yani maintains it. Al-ra'i, like the ra'i of the animals, the shepherd who takes care of animals, who looks over them. Although those animals may not be his, right? He's just working for somebody else, taking care of somebody else's animal, but he's responsible for them. So the ra'i of something is called kha'il. And its plural is khawal, and also from its meaning is wal muslihu lahu. Yani the one who, yani, attends to it, who takes care of it, who improves it, who rectifies it, who corrects it, who يعني makes sure that it's in good condition. المصلح يعني from أصلح يصلح. المصلح is the one who يعني improves something, betters it, fixes it. نعم. This is the meaning of الخول. يعني it's singular خائل meaning الرائي للشيء والمصلح له. Okay, so الخول means the one like a servant or a slave who's taking care of somebody's يعني property, whatever, attending to it. The next expression, جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم. جعلهم الله يعني جعل is the verb, هم is the مفعول به, and لفظ الجلالة الله is the فاعل. The لفظ الجلالة is the فاعل يعني الله is the one who made them, placed them, put them in the position تحت underneath أيديكم your hands. يعني أيدي is the plural of يد. Allah is the one who placed them, made them to be under your hands, meaning under your power and your authority. أي أعطاكم الله القدرة عليهم. يعني the meaning of جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم, it means أعطاكم الله, يعني Allah has given you all, you all, أعطاكم, Allah gave you all القدرة, the power عليهم, over them, has gave you power over them, so that they became your slaves or your servant or whatever. فَتَأْمُرُونَهُمْ بِالْخِدْمَةِ. So therefore, because Allah placed them under your power, you are able to command them. تَأْمُرُونَهُمْ بِالْخِدْمَةِ, to serve you, to do service for you. The next word, أَطْعَمَهُ. أطعمه, it means يعني it came in the hadith فليطعمه. يعني أطعم is the past tense, يطعم is the present tense. So it came in the hadith, يعني if you found your brother underneath your authority, then it is incumbent, obligatory upon you to feed them. أطعم is the fourth يعني form of the مزيد. By the way, these forms, sometimes it came to my mind that somebody might be wondering, what are we meaning by first form, second form, third form, fourth form, and so on. This is the fourth form. The first form is the normal form of the verb, the regular form of the verb, like fa'ala, yani like jalasa, fa'ala. And the second form is yani where the middle radical is doubled, yani fa'ala, like allama. Yani when the middle radical, the middle root letter is doubled. And the third form is fa'ala. Yani fa'ala, meaning the first radical is elongated by alif. Fa'ala. Like in jahada yujahidu. Qatala yuqatilu. And the fourth form is af'ala. Af'ala, where the first radical is preceded by Hamza with Fatta, and the first radical itself loses its vowel. So it became Afa'ala as in Aslama. Yani Aslama. Aslama Yuslimu. So the fourth form that we're talking about here of the Mazid, the verb when it has been increased, yani one or two or more letters. Yani the first form is the normal form of the verb, Mujarrad, when it doesn't have any increase. The second form is when the middle radical is doubled, as in علم, from علم, علم, middle radical is doubled. And the third form is in يعني, third form is when the first radical is elongated by فتح, as in جاهد يجاهد. And the fourth form أفعل, as in أسلم or آمن, and so on. Okay, so just in case يعني somebody is not completely clear, what are we talking about, these forms, we mean يعني when the verb has been increased by some letters and it modifies the meaning. So the fourth form is on the wazn of af'ala. Yani a hamza with fatha is placed before the first root letter, and the first root letter itself takes sukoon. And an example of this is the verb salima, its fourth form is aslama. Aslama. Yani the first letter seen takes sukoon, preceded by hamza with fatha, aslama. And the same thing with Amana. طيب, so here we have يعني the third expression, أطعمه يعني from the fourth form from the verb that its root is طاع عين and ميم أطعم أطعمه. The meaning of it is قدم له طعاما ليأكله. يعني أطعمه, it means to present to him food. قدم له طعاما, to present to him some food. ليأكله, so that he may eat it. يعني to feed somebody. أطعمه means to feed him. والمضارع from أطعم is يطعم. The present tense form يطعم, like أسلم يسلم. And the مصدر, the infinitive, is إطعام. إطعام. In the same way, from أسلم يسلم, the infinitive is إسلام. آمن يؤمن, the infinitive is إيمان, and so on. Okay, so the infinitive form is إطعام, feeding. Feeding someone. The next expression is لبس, وعليكم السلام, الثوب. لبس الثوب. يعني in this hadith, it came two words. Now, yeah, because I don't have a microphone. It's okay, no problem. I don't have a microphone, unfortunately. Inshallah, we'll put it on the website. Inshallah, right. We'll put it on the website.
I don't know.
The third one is فاعل. جاهد. قاتل. Now, yeah, please apologize. The human being is يعني weak, defective. I left my house today without, I have two microphones, I left both of them.
You keep,
I usually keep two of them, huh? Nah, anyway, but it's unfortunate because, and there are other people in other cities, they are attending the class with us, you know, a lot of other people. So, you know, Allah musta'an. قدر الله ما شاء فعل. This is the favor that Allah gives to whoever He wills. هذا فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء. يعني you came on the bus or the train or driving or walking and you got the extra benefit, some other people lost out on it. But inshallah, it'll be recorded. We'll, يعني, بإذن الله تعالى, we'll provide it on the website. Okay, so we have the word لبس, came in the hadith also, يعني فليلبسه. يعني here, if you find your brother under your care, under your authority, فليطعمه مما يأكل ويلبسه وليلبسه مما يلبس. يلبس is from ألبس يلبس. لبس is from, I mean يلبس is from لبس يلبس. So this is the مجرد form without any increase, and this comes from the يعني fourth form of مزيد. Fourth form. Okay, so these are two verbs from the same original root, but the first of them is the increased verb, fourth form that we had here, the same previously, يعني أفعل ألبس. And the second one, يلبس مما يلبس, is the original form of the verb without any increase. Okay, so let's look at both of these expressions, the verb لبس يلبس and the verb ألبس يلبس. Both of them came in this hadith. They gave the second one first because that's the original root. لبس الثوب, it means استطر به, that a person استطر, يعني used it as a ستر, a covering. A person covered yourself with it. لبس الثوب means to cover yourself with it, يعني to wear a piece of clothing to cover your body. استطر به. The مضارع of لبس is يلبس, and that's how it came in the hadith, مما يلبس, يعني that he clothed the slave with that which he clothes himself with. And the مصدر from the original form of the verb is لبسن. لبسن, wearing clothing. The next expression is وألبسه الثوب. يعني لبس الثوب means to wear the clothing. ألبسه الثوب means to clothe him, to cause somebody else to wear clothing, to give him some clothing to wear. Albasahu al-thawb, meaning he clothed him with a garment. Okay, in Arabic the meaning is قَدَّمَ لَهُ الثَّوْبُ لِيَلْبَسَهُ. قَدَّمَ لَهُ, to present to him, الثَّوْبُ, the garment, لِيَلْبَسَهُ, so that he may wear it. Okay, so لَبِسَ الثَّوْبُ means to wear it yourself. أَلْبَسَ, أَلْبَسَهُ الثَّوْبُ means to give somebody else a garment to wear. The أَلْبَسَ past tense form, albasa is the past tense form. The mudari form is yulbisu. Albasa yulbisu. Aslama yuslimu. And the masdar is ilbasun. Yani causing somebody else to wear clothing, giving somebody else clothing to wear. Ilbasun. Okay, again, this came in the hadith. Well, yulbishu mimma yalbasu. Yulbishu, yani is the mudari form from albasa yulbisu. And mimma yalbasu is from labisa yalbasu. Okay, so these two expressions are related to each other. They both came in the hadith in the same place. Yani, cause your slave to wear clothing from what you wear yourself. Yani, similar clothing. The next expression, kallafahu amran. Kallafa, yukallifu. Kallafa amran, it means أَوْجَبَهُ عَلَيْهِ, to make something obligatory upon somebody, to command them, to make it obligatory upon them to do some work, some task. أَوْجَبَهُ, yani to make it wajib عَلَيْهِ, upon him. كَلَّفَهُ أَمْرًا means to make that thing obligatory upon him. The mudari from كَلَّفَ is يُكَلِّفُ. كَلَّفَ يُكَلِّفُ. And again, this came in the hadith in two places. The mudari form, وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ, do not make obligatory upon them some task, yani from that which will overcome them, which they cannot do. And then this is the mudari form, كَلَّفَ يُكَلِّفُوا, لَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ. And then it came here also in the past tense form, يعني كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ, yani from كَلَّفَ, كَلَّفْتُمْ, أَنْتُمْ, أَنْتُمْ كَلَّفْتُمْ, كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ, yani if you did make obligatory upon them a task that they can't do, then help them. Okay, so the first of these, the word here, kallafa, is the past tense form. It means to make something obligatory upon someone. Its mudari present tense form is yukallifu. And again, this is the second form of the verb that we said here, second form, yani fa'ala, where the middle radical is doubled. يعني كلف like علم or درس. طيب كلف والعمر, to make it obligatory upon him. The masdar is تكليف. The masdar is تكليف like تعليم. علم يعلم تعليم. The next word is غلبه الأمر. غلبه الأمر. يعني the meaning of غلبه is قهره. قهر. يعني غلبه الأمر means قهره, mean it overcame him. قهر, to defeat, to conquer, to vanquish. يعني you say قهر, يعني he vanquished him, he conquered him, he defeated him, to overcome. Okay, so غلبه الأمر mean that matter, it overcame him, it defeated him, he was not able to يعني do it. The مضاري from غلبة is يغلبوا. And that's how it came in the hadith. يعني ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم. ما يغلبهم. يعني that's the مضاري form from غلب يغلبوا. And the masdar is غلب. غلب or غلبة. Two masdars, غلب, غلبة, both of them mean the same, overcoming, defeating, vanquishing, conquering. غلبه الأمر, يعني that thing, it overcame him. It was too difficult. He wasn't able to, يعني, fulfill it. The next word, لا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم. Here comes غلب يغلب again. In the hadith it came, لا تكلفوهم. يعني do not make them, يعني, responsible. Do not obligate them with that which ما is الذي, ما الموصولة. Don't يعني make obligatory upon them ما الذي that which يغلبهم will overcome them will defeat them A meaning لا تطلبوا إليهم لا تطلبوا إليهم يعني don't demand of them أن يقوموا that they fulfill a task يعني بما أن يقوموا بما يعجزون عنه يعني do not يعني demand from them to fulfill that which they are unable to do يعني يعجزون عنه they are unable incapable of doing it من عمل يعني from any type of deed or work لصعوبته يعني they are unable to do it because it is difficult لصعوبته due to its difficulty أو بما فيه مشقة عليهم or due to what it contains of مشقة يعني hardship or difficulty upon them okay so the meaning of لا تكلفهم ما يغلبهم يعني do not make obligatory upon them that which will overcome them it means لا تطلبوا إليهم إليهم here the preposition used here with طلب يطلب the preposition used here is إلى instead of من يعني you say طلب منه to request from somebody طلب منه but طلب إليه it means to demand from him okay so the preposition different preposition change the meaning of the verb right modifies the meaning so that's why we always say you have to pay attention to what preposition you use with a verb because you say سلمه it means to surrender him سلم عليه means to give greetings to him, to say assalamu alaikum. Okay, so the preposition changed the meaning here. لا تطلبوا إليهم. Don't demand from them. أن يقوموا to fulfill يعني بما يعجزون عنه that which they are unable to do من عمل of any work لصعوبته due to its difficulty. أو بما فيه مشقة عليهم or due to what it contains of difficulty or hardship. يعني don't give them a task that's very difficult. It will be a hardship for them to do it. Yeah, Allah doesn't demand from any person except what they are able to do. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. يعني Allah doesn't make obligatory upon the people except that which they wusai, and they are able to do, capable of doing. So Allah is saying also, if you have somebody under your authority, don't give them a task that they are unable to do. The next word is a'anahu. A'ana, yani is also a fourth form verb. A'ana, yani, but it's from ajwaf, right? So it has a weak letter in the middle. A'ana is like aqama yuqimu. Aqama yuqimu. A'ana yani yu'inu. A'anahu it means sa'adahu to help him, to help somebody, to aid, to assist them. Wal mudari yu'inu. A'ana yu'inu. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wal masdar And the masdar, the infinitive, is i'anatun. I'anatun with ta marbuta because this is from what? The ajwaf. Yani, the middle radical is weak letter. A'ana yu'inu i'anatun. Like aqama yuqimu. What's the masdar from aqama yuqimu? Iqamatun with ta marbuta. Naam. Alaykum salam. Okay, the last letter, or the last expression here, at the bottom of page 47, فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَآئِنُوهُمْ فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ يعني, so if it is so, that you did make obligatory upon them a task, يعني, that they are not able to do, that will overcome them, fa then آئِنُوهُمْ then you must help them, assist them, or give them some help. Okay, the meaning here, A, in طلبتم إليهم. Again, notice the preposition. إن طلبتم إليهم. If you demand from them. أن يقوموا بما فيه مشقة. يعني to do something, to fulfill a task that contains hardship. مشقة. Great hardship or difficulty. If you do demand from them to fulfill a task that contains great hardship or difficulty. Okay, so the last expression on the bottom of page 47. فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُهُمْ فَعِينُوهُمْ. يعني if you demand from them that to perform a task which contains a great difficulty, فَسَاعِدُوهُمْ, then you must help them عَلَى قِيَامِهِمْ بِذَلِكَ الْعَمَلِ الشَّاقِ. يعني if you do demand of them, يعني that which contains great difficulty, فَسَاعِدُوهُمْ, then you must help them عَلَى قِيَامِهِمْ, in their performance, بِذَلِكَ الْعَمَلِ الشَّاقِ, in their performance or fulfillment of that great, يعني of that difficult action, difficult work. يعني قيامهم بذلك العمل الشاق. And also the word, the last word in this page here, الشاق, should be written with شدة. Should be written with شدة. الشاق, الشاقي, العملي, الشاقي, with شدة. يعني it means something that is difficult, hard, or troublesome. يعني a difficult task. And if you demand of them some difficult task, then you must help them. Okay, these are the expressions that came in this hadith that there's clarification for. After that, yani page 48, إضاحات نحوية, yani grammatical clarifications. Grammatical clarifications. إضاحات, نعم. Yes. فساعدوا. يعني ساعد, يساعدوا means to help or to assist. يعني to give مساعدة, to give help to somebody. مساعدة. Okay, إضاحات نحوية, يعني grammatical clarifications. Okay, نعم. قيامهم. قيامهم. نعم. على قيامهم. قيام. قيام. يعني قيام means to fulfill or to perform something. يعني فساعدوهم, then help them, assist them. على قيامهم, in their fulfillment, in their performance. Of ذلك العمل الشاق, of that difficult task. القيام بالعمل means to fulfill it, to perform a certain deed. إضاحات نحوية, grammatical clarifications. There are four points here. إخوانكم خوالكم. إخوانكم خوالكم. Literally, your brothers are your servants. هنا المبتدا خوالهم أو خوالكم. I mean. Here the mubtada is khawalukum, the second word. Wal khaba ikhwanukum. And the yani the mubtada means the subject and the khaba is the predicate, what you want to say about it. So the khaba, what you want to say about the subject, is ikhwanukum. It came first. Quddima al khabar isharatan ila al ihtimam bihi. This is an important grammatical point. Here, yani, we have two words, a mubtada and a khabar, a subject and a predicate. Normally the mubtada, the subject, comes first, and then the predicate, what you want to say about it, comes after. So the original order should be, khawalukum, that's the subject, your servants, your slaves, are ikhwanukum, are brothers of yours. They are your brothers, so treat them like brothers. But here in this case, the mubtada came late, and the khabar came first, and it said here what? قُدِّمَ الْخَبَرَ, the predicate, what you want to say about it, was advanced. It came first. إِشَارَةً, as an indication, إِلَى الْإِحْتِمَامِ بِهِ, as an indication of what? The need to give attention to it, to give attention to the khabar. It should come second, but it came first, so that you will give attention to it. So do you see, يعني, the importance of it? We mean here the importance of الأخوة, the importance of brotherhood. So instead of saying, يعني, your servants are your brothers, the Prophet ﷺ said, your brothers are your servants. Meaning, give attention to this fact of brotherhood. This is very, very important. Even if they are your slaves, or your servants, or your workers, or whatever. for emphasis. To emphasize the importance. Al-ihtimam, yani means to give attention, care to something, to give great care to it. Here it means what? Give great care to the fact that even though they are slaves, they are your brothers. Ja'ala, yani huna bimana sayyara. Ja'ala has many meanings. From amongst its meanings is sayyara. Yani meaning to make something into something. Or to make out of something, to make something out of something. Yani to become something else, to make it into something else. Sayyara takunu ja'altu hadhihi al-gurfata maktabatan. Yani ja'altu means sayyara, means I made this room, hadhihi al-gurfa, I made it into a maktaba, an office. Yani it was just a regular room, maybe it was a bedroom, and then you made it into an office. That's the meaning of ja'ala here, sayyara, to make the room that was an ordinary room into something else that is an office. Another example of this is ja'ala Allah al-khamra haraman. And Allah, He made khamr haram. Yani Allah declared the khamr that used to be lawful to them, Allah made it to become that which is forbidden. Allah legislated that it became forbidden. Then it says, ja'ala bimana sayyara. Yani this meaning of ja'ala, we said that ja'ala has more than one meaning. From amongst its meanings is sayyara. And when it's used with this meaning of sayyara, brothers, when it's used with this meaning of sayyara, yani tata'addi ila maf'ulain, then it yani affects two objects. Yani the meaning of ja'ala, when it has the meaning of sayyara, it affects two objects, two maf'uls. Wa fi hadha al-hadith al-maf'ul al-awwal, the first object is hum, ja'ala hum. And the maf'ul al-thani is tahta aydikum. Ja'alahumullahu tahta aydikum. Yani ja'ala is the verb. Hum is the first maf'ul object. And tahta aydikum is the second maf'ul. The third grammatical point. Fal yut'imhu. Then feed them. Yani from that which you feed yourself. Here we have fa. And we also have lam al-amr. فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ. The lam al-amr is making the verb أَطْعَمَ يُطْعِمُ مَجْزُوم. فَلْيُطْعِمْ with sukoon. فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ. يعني the meaning, I mean the grammatical point here is the fa, دخلت الفا على هذا الفعل لأنه طلبي وقع جوابا للشرطي. يعني because يعني in the hadith we have a shart and jawab al shart. Where we at here? Ina man kana akhuhu tahta yadihi. Man is the shart, and the jawab al shart, the response to it, is fal yut'imhu. Yani so the meaning is here, whoever yani finds that his brother is underneath his authority, then the response, whoever finds himself in that position, fal yut'imhu, then he must feed him, mimma ya'kulu, from that which he eats himself. So we're saying here what? That the fa in fal yut'imhu, it entered upon the verb here because that verb, yani liyut'imhu, is a talabi waqa'a jawaban lishart. Yani it is a talabi. Yani talabi means a command or a prohibition or an istifham, question. If the jawab, the response to the conditional statement, if the response is talabi, if it's a command or a prohibition or istifham, then we have to use fa. Yani when the response came as a talabi. So because the jawab shart is talabi here, so we have to use fa. And the last point is mimma. Yani فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ mimma ya'kulu. So feed him from what? From that which he eats himself. Asluhu min, yani mimma. Originally it is min. Mim kasra noon with sukoon. Min, yani at-taba'idiyya dakhalat alayha ma al-mawsoola. Yani originally it is the word min and the word ma came together Yani the noon is merged into the meem, it became mimma. But originally it's min at-taba'idiyya, meaning the min that means ba'd, some of something, a part of it, yani. And it's used with ma hiya al-mawsula, the meaning of it is alladhi, that which. Yani, so feed them from some portion of what, of that which he, yani the master, is eating himself. Okay, as far as the meaning of this hadith, ma'ana al-hadith, on the second half of page 48, inna al-khadam wal-ariqqa ikhwanukum. Inna al-khadam, yani khadam, the plural of khadim, ariqqa, the plural of raqiq, both your servants and your slaves. Yani ariqqa is from the singular raqiq ala wazn af'ila. Yani it's a little bit modified here because of the yani two qafs. Ariqqa. Originally it should have been yani ariqqa'u af'ila. Ariqqa'u, but the vowel from the first qaf is transferred to the ra and then it's merged with the second qaf, so you get ariqqa. In any case, it's the plural of raqiq, it means a slave. Indeed, your khadam, your servants, and your ariqqa, your slaves, ikhwanukum, are your brothers. فَإِنْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ فَإِنَّهُمْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. So if they are Muslims, then the meaning here is that they are your brothers in deen, your brothers in Islam. لِقَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, based on the saying of Allah the Most High, the Mighty and the Majestic, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, the believers and only the believers are brothers to one another. يعني إِنَّمَا, إِنَّ means definitely, certainly, surely, and what is connected with مَا إِنَّمَا, it means حَصَر, it means it's limited. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ means indeed, verily, the believers and only the believers are ikhwa, brothers of one another. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, yani actions are judged by, indeed actions are judged by only, yani the niyyah. طيب, then it says here, وَإِنْ كَانُوا, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, وَإِنْ كَانُوا غَيْرُ, إِنْ كَانُوا غَيْرُ مُسْلِمِينَ فَإِنَّهُمْ إِخْوَانٌ فِي الْإِنْسِ إِنْسَانِيَّ فَقَدْ. And if they are not Muslims, if they are other than Muslims, then they are your brothers in humanity only. And I just want to stop here, and we don't have time to go into the details of this. I wish that we would. It's a very important point. If they are Muslims, yani your servants or slaves are your brothers. If they are Muslims, it means they are your brothers in deen. Because what? The believers are brothers to one another. If they are not Muslims, then they are your brothers in humanity only. This expression, إخوان في الإنسانية, is a dangerous expression. And I would rather not it be here, but it's here, so we have to deal with it. Some people have taken this expression to mean that the disbelievers, whether Christians or Jews or Hindus or whatever, that they are still our brothers. And some people actually say our Christian brothers, our Jewish brothers, our whatever brothers. This is absolutely incorrect. And the proof of it is the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. And this is clear in Arabic language that the only people who are brothers to one another here are the Muslims. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers, because of Iman, they are brothers to one another and no one else. So just be careful that we don't misunderstand what is meant here. يعني الأخوة في الإنسانية, the meaning of it in this hadith is al-ukhuwa fil adamiyya. Yani adamiyya meaning that they're all from Adam alayhi salam. Yani every human being is from the children of Adam, right? In that sense, they're brothers. Yani that they're all children from the same father. But no more than that. No more than that. So be careful from this expression. I wish that we had the time to explain it in detail, but I have yani some notes here we don't have time to read. Okay?
What's the difference between adamiyya and
Well, there's a big difference. Yani, there's a big difference. Because what is intended by insaniya, by the use of it today, what is intended by it, and probably in the past also, yani, by many people who used it, if they mean by insaniya that they are human beings, Okay, then no doubt. But some of the people who actually are human beings, meaning they had a mother and a father, right? They were born like other human beings. They have no humanity. Look at the way they treat other people. Can we say these people have humanity? Are they humane? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So for this reason, some of the scholars emphasize this point, that this expression, with that meaning, that they are actually our brothers, and that they are our brothers, not that they are just human beings, because they were born like other human beings who are all from the children of Adam. If they mean anything more than that, this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Okay, because there's no humanity in the people who are murdering and killing and torturing and starving and whatever they're doing all over the world, yani, in general, from amongst the people who refuse to submit and surrender to the Rabbul Alameen. Especially the Christians and Jews, whose prophets came to them, and their prophets foretold that there will come a prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they all made covenants, the prophets of the past, upon their people, that if that prophet comes, you have to follow him. And they refused to follow him. They rejected. And this is mentioned in the Quran. We don't have time to go into it now. This is mentioned in the Quran. And also we can say that even the brotherhood of Adamiya, yani, there's no doubt that they are human beings in the sense that they were born, yani, and maybe no more than that. But even Nuh alayhi salam, when he said about his son that he's from my family, Allah rejected that. He said he is not from your family. He's not from your family. So this is a proof that if the real blood relative relation is negated by kufr, so then what about people who are not even blood related? And they don't have the same deen, so what relation do we have to them? Nothing at all. In any case, this requires some discussion. We don't have time. We want to finish this lesson. We have a lot to finish. So let's keep going here, and maybe at another time we'll just take a few minutes and come back to this topic. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ يعني after this statement, يعني so whoever كان له خادم, whoever has a servant or a slave or a worker, فَلْيُعَامِلْهُ, then he must treat him كَمَا يُعَامِلُ أَخَاهُ, treat him the way he treats his brother. فِي الْمَأْكُلْ وَالْمَلْبَسْ فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ مِنْ جِنْسِ مَا يَأْكُلُ, so treat him like he treats his brother in terms of the food and the clothing. Yani, treat him like he would treat a brother. So therefore he must feed him مِنْ جِنْسِ مَا يَأْكُلُ, from the same type of food that he eats himself. Not necessarily exactly the same food, but yani, decent food like he eats himself. وَلْيَلْبَسْهُ مِنْ جِنْسِ مَا يَلْبَسُهُ وَنَفْسُهُ, and he must clothe him from the same type of clothing, generally speaking, of what he himself wears. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ وَلَا يُكَلِّفْهُ وَلَا يُكَلِّفْهُ عَمَلًا يَعْجِزُ عَنْهُ أَوْ يَشُقُّ عَلَيْهِ, and do not make obligatory upon him a deed or an action or a work يَعْجِزُ عَنْهُ, that he is unable to do, he is incapable of, أَوْ يَشُقُّ عَلَيْهِ, or it is very, very extremely difficult for him. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, but if it was so, that it's a necessity that you have to make him, obligate him, command him, demand him to do this work, فَلْيُسَاعِدْهُ عَلَىٰ الْقِيَامِ بِذَلِكَ الْعَمَلِ الشَّاقِي, then he must assist him and help him in the fulfillment or the performance of that difficult task.
So now, about the explanation of the hadith, so we should leave this second brotherhood in the explanation of the hadith.
Yani, I would explain it in this way. Yani, your brothers, your servants, your slaves, your servants and slaves are your brothers. So if they are Muslims, then they are your brothers in deen. And this is the only real brotherhood. يعني الأخوة الحقيقية هو الأخوة في الإسلام. This is the only real brotherhood, the brotherhood of Islam. And this, يعني, based on the saying of Allah, the verily believers are brothers one another. And if they are not Muslims, then فإنهم إخوان يعني في آدمية. يعني then they are at least human beings. يعني at least don't treat them like animals. Treat them like human beings. That's the meaning. Treat them like human beings. Not to suggest in any way whatsoever that there's some type of brotherhood amongst us. Between them, there's no brotherhood whatsoever between the believer and the disbeliever who has rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refused to surrender and acknowledge his right over them. Now, يعني الأخوة الإنسانية. No, it's not from the Prophet. It's the explanation. This is how it's explained. يعني in other words, يعني the scholars when they explained this hadith, they said, okay, so if your slaves are your brothers, well, some of them are Muslim and some of them are not. Somebody may have a slave who's a Muslim. They may have a slave who's not a Muslim. So they're saying, so if the meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying, if they are Muslims, then he means by they are your brothers, not that they are from the same mother or father, but they are your brothers in deen. But if they are not Muslims, then what kind of brotherhood is this? So then they said, well, then it must be some other brotherhood, right? So they said, al-ukhuwa al-insaniya. Even though, if the intended meaning of that, and that is what is intended, is al-ukhuwa al-adamiya, that they are, in fact, still human beings, even if they are not Muslims. Yes, they are human beings. And even the kafir, right? Islam requires of us to treat them a certain way. Don't abuse, oppress, do wrong to people just because they are kafir. So they still have some right as a human being.
Even the animals, as we saw.
Naam, naam.
But like for the kafir, can you call them brothers? Like
no, absolutely
can
not.
Can you say like brother for them? Or?
No, absolutely not. That's absolutely wrong. Anyway, I will try to come back to this topic after we finish. I'll come back, inshallah. Just remind me, can we call them brother? Inshallah, we'll come back to this. Okay, so here we are now at the ما يستفاد من الحديث, and we're a little over time. ما يستفاد من الحديث. What can we benefit from this hadith? There are two points mentioned here. Number one, يعلمنا الإسلام العطف والأخوة. يعني from this hadith we know that Islam teaches us to have compassion, and even for the slave. So what about other people, right? Have compassion. And also this hadith teaches us al-ukhuwa, that there's such a thing as brotherhood, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, even though they are slaves, still they are your brothers. Okay, so there's compassion for the slave, for the weak, for the other, for people who يعني, are not in the good position. And there's also brotherhood. The second point, وَيَحُثُّنَا عَلَى الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى مَنْ تَحْتَ أَيْدِينَا مِنْ خَدَمٍ أَوْ أَجَرَاءَ أَوْ وَرِفْقٍ بِهِمْ وَعَدَمْ التَّكَبُّرُ عَلَيْهِمْ. يعني يَحُثُّنَا عَلَى الْإِحْسَانِ, يعني that we are also encouraged, this hadith encourages us to be kind, al-ihsan, to be good, to treat people well, يعني those who are under our hands. مِنْ خَدَمٍ, يعني those who are servants, وَأَجَرَاءَ, يعني those who are hired workers, وَرِفْقٍ بِهِمْ وَعَدَمْ التَّكَبُّرُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and also to be gentle with them and to not be proud, يعني arrogant over them. Okay, these are two points from this hadith, and there are a number of other points in this hadith, but يعني for sake of time, let's go quickly to the questions and summarize some of the questions. اشرح هذا الحديث.
What is أجراء؟
أجراء يعني أجير, أجير, the one who is a hired hand. يعني a worker, somebody that is hired by you. They're not a slave, but they are an employee, somebody that you have hired. Naam. First question, اشرح هذا الحديث شرحا موجزا. يعني explain this hadith with a brief explanation. Brief explanation. Naam. Anybody? Naam.
علمنا نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن قدمنا وأرقاؤنا إخواننا.
Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that our servants and our slaves are our brothers.
هم في هذا حال بقدرة الله تعالى.
يعني they're in this condition by the decree of Allah. Allah has made placed them under our authority. He made gave us power over them. Now.
إذن يجب علينا أن
نطعمهم
في مما نأكل ونلبسهم فيما نلبس.
So since they are our brothers, even though they are slaves, it's incumbent upon us to feed them from what we eat and to clothe them from what we clothe ourselves.
ولا يمكن أن نكلفهم.
لا يجوز أن يكلفهم.
أن نكلفهم بما يغلبهم وَإِنْ كَلَّفْنَاهُمْ يَجِبَ عَلَيْنَا
نعم. So and it's not permissible for us to make obligatory upon them a task that they are unable to do. And if it became a necessity to task them with such a task, then we must aid and assist them. JazakAllah khair. Also, from that's the first question. Second question: اذكر ما يستفاد من الحديث. Mention what is benefited from this hadith. First one. Islam teaches us compassion and al-ukhuwa, brotherhood. And the second one? Naam. And if the general meaning of it.
Okay.
Yani that, we encourage. يحفنا الإسلام. يعني we encourage the what?
To treat well.
Good treatment of those who are under our authority, whether they are our slaves or whether they are our workers or whatever. And likewise, additionally, yani not to be yani عدم التكبر عليهم. Don't be proud and arrogant over them. Okay. اذكر حديثا يحثنا على الإحسان إلى الخدم ومن في معناهم. يعني mention a hadith which encourages us to be good, to be kind to the servants and those who are have who are yani similar to that. Yani fi ma'anahum, yani the same meaning, servant, slave, workers, whatever. And that's our hadith for today. But anyway, for the sake of time, we'll come back if we have time. Yeah. Question number four, لماذا قدم الخبر على المبتدا. Why was the predicate given precedence first over the mubtada in order in this sentence, in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إخوانكم خوالكم. Why did he say يعني إخوانكم, which is the khabar first before خوالكم. نعم مصطفى. لتأكيد. Okay. But yeah, for emphasis. Yeah, for emphasis. But the wording that he came with, يعني إشارة إلى الاحتمام. احتمام. يعني to give care to this particular meaning. يعني to emphasize the importance of brotherhood. نعم. In other words, the reversal of the order of Mubtada and Khabar from its purposes is to emphasize or to show the importance of the Khabar by making it come first, even though its original order should come second. ما معنى الخوال? What is the meaning of الخوال?
الخوال
جم خائل. The جم of خائل. And its meaning is? يعني the one who takes care of something. والمسلح له يعني the one who يعني improves, corrects, reforms something, makes it better, takes care of it. نعم. ما المراد من قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم. What is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet يعني جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم. أطاعكم الله القدرة. القدرة عليهم فتأمرونهم. أيوة. بالخدمة. خدمة. نعم. Allah has given you power or authority over them, and therefore you are able to command them to serve you. طيب. Question number seven. أدخل كل كلمة مما يأتي في جملة مفيدة. Put each of the words in a يعني complete sentence. أطعم. أطعم. Anybody? What about the hadith? من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله أطعمكم الله وسقاه. نعم. ألبس. نعم مصطفى.
من ألبس خريرة في
ألبس لبس. ألبس. أو يمكن من ألبس غيره. نعم. ألبس غيره. نعم. من ألبس غيره يعني بلباس طيبة.
حتى ألبس.
حتى ألبسه يعني حتى ألبس حتى ال ها
أنا
okay لا ألبس means to call somebody else to wear clothing يعني لبس نعم
ألبس المرء الامرأة بأن
ألبست المرأة أو المرء
المرء
أها
الامرأة بأنها بيده
يعني لأنها تحت يده نعم كلف كلف يكلف
لا يكلف
نعم إبراهيم
كلفنا الله أن نصلي كل يوم خمسة مرات
Allah has made obligatory upon us to perform prayer every day five times أعانا أعانك الله على الواجبات والفرائض يعني أعانا means to help to assist أعانا يعين نعم أن جعل
الله القمر نورا
جعل الله
القمر نورا
يعني meaning Allah made the moon a light He made it to be a light نعم Okay, we're going to stop here, inshallah. Yani perhaps we'll just you know take a moment if we have some time before the day is over to look at this issue of calling the non-Muslim your brother and what some of the scholars have said about this on this particular topic. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.